Good morning. Everybody out there have a good Christmas? All right. We studied this morning out of the book of Proverbs. How many of you ever out there have ever made a trip to somewhere you'd never been before? A whole lot of us, aren't they? You know, when you make a trip to somewhere you've never been before, something that is of great value to you is directions. Now, I remember a few years ago, there was a couple of stores over in Johnson City that I like to go to. And I had a map, so no big deal. And I decided one day, well, I've been there a couple of times. I don't need that anymore. So I didn't take it. I seen a whole lot of Johnson City that day. Most of it I had no interest in seeing. Directions, they're valuable. They can save you time. They can keep you out of trouble, all kinds of things. They can get you to where you want to go, quickest and easiest way. And you know, life is a whole lot like that. We need directions to keep us out of trouble, to get us to where we want to go and keep us out of the places we don't want to go. A very valuable source of information on how to live life you're holding probably in your lap right now is called the Bible. And one of the what I call the wisdom books, Proverbs, it gives you some down-to-earth information and direction on how to direct your life, which way to take your life, how to avoid pitfalls in life. It can save you a lot of grief, and it can get you where you're headed a lot quicker and a lot easier. And this morning we'll be studying out of Proverbs. We'll be skipping through two or three chapters. We start in verse 8. It says, beginning at verse 7, "For my mouth shall speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge." Wisdom is speaking here, having a conversation with us. And this is what or how it describes the counsel that it has to offer you on how to order your life, on what direction to take your life in, on how to make decisions in life. Sometimes we come up with decisions in life that a whole lot riding on it. A whole lot. This is how wisdom describes its counsel. It says there's no wickedness in any of the counsel it gives. It also says that it speaks words of righteousness, truth. Now let's look at that word truth for just a minute. You know, truth, something's hard to come by anymore. Hard to come by. I mean, how many people do you really, really trust? You can believe that anything they tell you, that they're telling you at least what they perceive as the absolute truth. How many people do you really trust that you would go to with anything, tell them anything, and could count on them always? Well, if you really get down and think about it, there's not a whole lot. Of all the people you know, there's not a whole lot. Pilate once asked the question, "What's the truth?" In Pilate's case, the truth was standing in front of him in the form of Jesus Christ. But truth, it's hard to come by. Most people that we have dealings with is wanting something from us. And some of them don't care to kind of stretch the truth a little bit to get what they want. But how many places, I mean, they is self-help books by the millions out there on how to live your life, on advice, on how what to do, and how to make decisions. But the truth that you can bank on, it's rare. Wisdom says, my counsel is truth. There's nothing crooked, there's nothing perverse about it. There's no deception in it. He also says it's plain. Sometimes people think the Bible was written in some kind of secret code that you can't understand. God sent it for our use, and He didn't write it in the secret code. You don't have to have a decoder ring. It's the Spirit of God in your heart. Amen. Wisdom says, my counsel is plain. It's plain to anyone who is willing to put forth the effort to read it and study it. Now, like any directions you may have, a map, GPS, whatever, unless you pay attention to it, listen to what it has to say, or read what it has to say, it won't do you any good. You'll still be lost. The Bible is no different. The wisdom's in there. The truth's in there. It's not in the secret code. You don't have to have a decoder ring. It's there. But you got to read it. You can take it home. You have all kinds of them laying on every shelf in your house. You have some of these great big ones laying on your coffee table. But if you don't read it, it won't do you a bit of good. Just like a map you got through in a glove box or left at home like I did that day. You got to read it. Wisdom says that I have the truth for you. It's there for you. It's plain. If you read it. He says, receive my instructions and not silver. Knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared unto it. Have you seen it on TV? If you've seen TV, you've seen it. Buy silver. Buy gold. Get it from us. It'll give you security in the future. We live in a troubled, uncertain world, they'll tell you, and buy silver and gold, and you will have security. Now, if you want to invest in silver and gold, that's fine. But if you think it's going to bring you security, you're wrong. You're wrong. Especially security for your soul. The world will tell you get things. And we have things to sell you. Get all these things. And you'll be secure. Your future will be secure. You'll be happy. You'll find joy and fulfillment in your life. Just get these things. But you know, there's one thing about an earthly treasure we need to understand. It's earthly. It's staying here. But you're not. I don't care what it is. If you can see it, if you can touch it, if you can handle it, it's staying here. It's staying here. You ain't going to take it. I mean, I know we've all got possessions at home that we enjoy and we like, and that's all well and good, but they're going to belong to someone else one day. They're staying here, but you're not. First bit of advice wisdom gives. You'll find it also confirmed by Jesus Christ over in Matthew chapter 6, 32 through 33. For all these things, that's what he's speaking of, is things, earthly things, do the Gentiles seek, and we certainly do. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek first the things of God. When I say seek first, I'm talking about making it your priority. We all have them, whether we think about it or admit it. We all have priorities, what we consider important in life. We have things we consider most important in life. Wisdom says make it the things of God, because it will bring you things in your life that you need that silver and gold simply cannot buy you. But that's not how the world looks at it. Buy things. We have things to sell. You buy our things and you'll be happy. If you're a man, all the beautiful women will love you. And if you're a lady, all the handsome men will love you. Buy things. Get our things. It will bring you all this. It'll bring you fulfillment. It'll bring you joy. It'll bring you security. And it won't bring you any of those things. Things are things. And that's all they are. But if you want something that you can count on, that will give you security here and forever, that only comes from the Word of God, the things God has to offer. Those things you can take with you because they're heavenly. But like I said, earthly things are exactly that, and they're staying here, but you're not. Things are fine. I'm not condemning things as long as you have your priorities straight. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Keep His priorities. Follow His word. Make that the most important thing in your life. Okay. Yeah, we would. Things in themselves are just inanimate objects. They're neither good nor bad. It's what we make of them. It's... They was a group that run an experiment once, and they took, if I remember right, it may have been $100,000, and put it in a suitcase and threw it in a dumpster, and they watched the man that found it. And you'd have thought, wow, you know, he was homeless, and he took this money, and he could have done all these things for himself that would have helped him, would have improved his life. He run through it in a short length of time, and I won't tell you what he spent it on, but it was ungodly things, and he ended up right back where he was. You got to know what to do with things. Now, things in themselves, they're not evil. It's what we do with them. It's the priority we place on them, because they is wealthy, godly men and women that use their resources to further the cause of Christ. There certainly is. But we skip over now to chapter 9. And wisdom tells us this: forsake the foolish and leal. Go in the way of understanding. Wow. He said it was plain, and it is. Forsake foolishness. Don't be so naive that you fall for everything Satan offers. Forsake foolishness and live. Go in the way of understanding. The way of understanding is the Word of God. He has the wisdom in there that you need to understand. Wisdom says follow that and forsake the things of foolishness and live. Wow. Nothing hard about that. He goes on to say, he that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame. And he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instructions to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Did you know one of the marks of a truly wise person? They can take criticism and learn from it instead of flying into a rage about it and ignoring it. Is it easy? No. Only a mature, wise person is ever going to be able to do that. And did you know that you can even grow and learn things you need to know from the criticism of your enemies? They'll tell you things your friend won't. And you know what? Sometimes they're right. Sometimes they're right. A truly wise man can learn stuff even from the criticism of those who dislike him. He'll take that. He'll look at that. He'll look at his life, and he'll see whether they're right or not. Your enemy may be telling you something you need to know, straighten up in your life. Unfortunately, not everyone takes criticism that way. A wise man, you criticize him, he'll look at what you have to say, and he'll see if there's truth in it that he needs to know, and he is even wiser because he learned something. But unfortunately, for the most part, as we have probably all learned the hard way, not everybody takes criticism like that, do they, Larry? Not everybody does. He talks about reproving a scorner. Who is and what is a scorner? I think Psalms 14:1 describes one pretty well. It says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The person who truly believes in his heart that God doesn't exist, nor does he want to hear anything about God. Have you ever talked to someone or started to talk to someone and you just felt it like a switch? They cut you off. They wanted nothing to do with what you had to say. They wanted to hear nothing more. And if you pushed it instead of doing good, it would do harm. I've come across a few like that. I mean, you could tell it. That if you'd said any more, if you'd have pushed it any more, it would have just got hostile and they would have left. They wanted nothing to do with what you had to say. Their heart was totally closed to God. You'll run across them. Wisdom here tells you about it and warns you of it. You will run across them. And some of these people, they're so sure that they know best. A matter of fact, they're proud of the fact that they don't believe in God. They're proud of that. They consider their thinking so modern, so up-to-date, so open-minded. Did you know that we have become so open-minded in America that what little sense we had has fallen out? We have. We've become so open-minded that anything that we ever knew that was the truth has fallen out. But you've got them today, seems like more and more. They're so sure of their own knowledge. They're so proud of the fact that they don't believe in God, they call him a myth. And really, when you try to talk to them, they're not going to hear anything you have to say. They already have their mind made up. Don't confuse them with facts. Verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Do you want to know why our country is tearing itself apart? Do you want to know why we're destroying ourselves by the seemingly mindless decisions and rulings and laws that we pass that good sense tells you that are ridiculous? You want to know why that's happening? We say, well, it's because this party's in there or that party's in there. No, it isn't. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and America wants nothing to do with God. When you leave wisdom, the only source of wisdom, when you leave it, what are you going to be? You ain't going to have any, are you? You're going to be ignorant. Some of the laws that we pass now, you look at them and you just stand there with your mouth hanging open. How could we be so naive? How could we be so dumb? Right here's how. We left the source of wisdom, and our country's destroying itself. That's why. I know if I went through, and I certainly wouldn't do it, and ask everybody what party are you on, what political party, they would be all kinds in here, and that's fine. It's not politics I'm talking about. Politics ain't going to get us out of this mess we're in. We left God. We want nothing to do with Him. We took Him out of our schools, and we can't understand why we have to have security guards, armed security guards in our schools anymore. We can't understand that. We don't know why. Why do you have to taser a student to get obedience? Why? We took God out. You take the source of wisdom out, there's only one thing left. We want anything that do with His Word, the Ten Commandments, we don't want them displayed in public anymore. Even the cross, no, you can't. You don't want that displayed anymore. Christmas time, no nativity scenes. We don't want that anymore. It offends people. You can't say Jesus Christ at Christmas time. You can't say Merry Christmas. You just, it's Happy Holidays. We certainly have. That's where it left first. That's where it left first, right there. If it hadn't left there, it wouldn't have left anywhere else. We left God out of our home. That's where it all begins. When the home falls, the rest goes with it. But if you want to know why we're destroying ourselves in America, don't look at politics. Look at this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And we don't want nothing to do with God anymore. Nothing. Well, anything to do with Him, we want it gone. We want it out of sight. We don't want to hear about it, and we don't want to see it. And you know what? God will honor that decision. If we don't want Him around, He won't be around. That is why we left God, and when you leave the only source of wisdom, there's only one thing left, and that's ignorance, and we're knee-deep in that. That's why we're passing the laws that are just absolutely mind-boggling. That we would do that to ourselves. He says, "For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased." Did you know that if you live by the Word of God, follow the Word of God, you can lengthen your days here on earth? You're not out doing those foolish things that'll get you killed. But what's more, that is certainly true of an individual. But it's true of something else also. Proverbs 14:34 says, "Righteousness exalteth a nation. It builds it up. But sin is a reproach to any people." What's true of an individual is true of a nation. A nation that is founded on God, that lives by God's laws, that follows God's rules, is going to be blessed by God, and its years in existence can be extended and extended. But a nation that's left God, it's not going to stand. It's not. I don't care how powerful we may think that we are. We're not going to stand. America's in trouble. It's very much in trouble. Very much. Yes. Right. You're not by yourself. I know what you're saying.
And people, this is what's happened. The politics is more important than God.
Certainly.
When it comes to
election. Yes. Yes.
So we've not sat down and decided what's right and wrong.
Mm-mm. It's you vote for your party, do or die.
Yeah. And it's sad that we've been put in front of us. exercise love that would come to a place we don't know about.
We don't even think about it.
We've lost the will.
Yeah, we don't even think about it. We don't take time to consider it. We don't pray about it.
I'm sorry to say, but I've been a faithful lifetime and I never heard of it.
Yeah.
Didn't know a thing more.
Right.
I'm going to quit there.
It's.
Well,
I know what you're saying, but it's really when it comes down to it, if there's someone that you truly believe is a person who has a relationship with God that it's real, you better vote for that person. I don't care what party he is, because you better. If you're truly convinced that they're godly people, and I'm sure there's godly people in our government, but they're overshadowed by those who are not. Right. Right. Word of God. That's it. That's it. Yeah, if a nation, no matter what party's ruling, if a nation follows the word of God, God will bless them. And if a nation don't want nothing to do with God, God will honor that choice. He certainly will. We jump over now to chapter 10. And we're beginning. We'll see some things here, some advice, some comparisons to the choices people make, those who choose to follow wisdom, those who choose to follow something else. But in Galatians 6 and 7, it says, be not deceived. Now, don't fool yourself. God is not mocked. You can't just treat him with contempt and get away with it. He says, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. We got a lot of people praying for crop failure. They know what they sowed and they don't want to reap it. And they believe Satan's lie that you just go ahead and do whatever you want. God isn't going to punish you. He's not. It's either God doesn't exist and live any way you please, or God's all love and he'll never do anything that would hurt you. They're both wrong. He certainly does exist. Yes, he's love, but that's not all he is. That's not all he is. He's also a holy God that hates sin. And he told us quite plainly that he will punish those who commit sin. But yet Satan says, just go out ahead and do it. You can treat God's word with contempt and nothing bad's going to happen. Look around you. It don't take long to see that that isn't true. But you pick up in verse 6, chapter 10, it says, blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. God blesses people who follow his word. They have blessings built into it. You follow God's word and you're going to see the traps of Satan and you're going to go around them. Instead of plowing right through them. God blesses those who live by his word. However, not everyone chooses to do that. It says violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Covereth. You know, you can pretend to be anything you want to. And you can fool. As the old saying says, you can fool a lot of the people a lot of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. And you've never fooled God to start with. But there's people with things that they're so ashamed of that they never want no one to know about. And they are trying to find a place to hide their evil deeds that no one will ever find them. There's only one place you can do that. The blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that's going to cover them. But what you are, sooner or later, if you don't turn to Christ, it's going to come out. People are going to know. That word covereth means to decorate. Now, if you've decorated something, you've put stuff out there that's easily visible, haven't you, to attract people's attention. That's what decorating is. Your sin will find you out. unless you cover it with the blood of Christ, you're not going to hide it. Sooner or later, people's going to know exactly what you are and exactly what you've done. If you've got something in your life that you prefer to keep hidden, there's only one place you can put it, under the blood of Christ. Ask Him to forgive you of it, to cleanse you of it. But if you try to hide it somewhere else, it will come to light, sooner or later. He says the memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. Now the memory of the just is blessed. They're like a sweet, beautiful flower that's ever blooming. People think of them and the good that they have done and the blessings they have been to people. Their memory just goes on and on like an ever-blooming flower. But, says the wicked shall rot. The member of the wicked is like a rotten thing that falls to the ground, decays away into nothing, and is forgotten. Contrast. Says the wise of heart shall receive commandments, but the prating fool shall fall. Wise of heart. Did you know that the wisest thing that you could know about yourself, you know what it is? Just how ignorant we really are on our own. That's the wisest thing that we can know about ourselves. That outside of God, I know nothing. I know nothing. Wise man will understand that. And he will receive. The word of God, the commandments, the word of God. He knows. He knows just how ignorant he really is. And he will grasp, he will seize what God has to offer in his word. However, not everybody will see that about themselves. They believe that they know enough to take care of everything, that they know what's best for their life, and they're going to follow their own wisdom. And they'll fall. Man thinks he's really smart. On his own, man knows nothing. Man knows nothing. Man will get himself in some of the awfulest messes that you've ever seen depending on his own wisdom. How can I be so sure about that? Because I've done it myself. I've done it myself. Oh, I know how to take care of this. Yeah, I know God wants me to do that, but this will work better. I have yet for it to work better, not even one time. I always end up, God, would you help me straighten this out? I've made such a mess of it. He says, he that walketh uprightly walketh surely. The man who chooses to follow the word of God is on a sure path. Proverbs 22:3 says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. A prudent man, one who has read, one who has studied the wisdom God has to offer in his word, he looks out there and he says, that's Satan leading me this way. I don't need to go there. That's Satan leading me to do this. I don't need to do that. I don't need to get involved in that. That's going to hurt me. But the foolish, he depends on his own wisdom. They just go straight ahead. They plow right into every trap Satan lays for them. Life in shambles, life in pieces, and they can't understand why. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his way shall be known. He certainly shall. It says, he that winketh with the eye causes sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall. You've come in contact with them, I'm sure. They will pat you on the back. They will give you that little wink. Oh, I'm your friend. I'm on your side. They'll build you up. They'll butter you up until they get what they want. And then you find out, they never was your friend. They just wanted something from you. It says they cause sorrow
And indeed they do. They wreck people's lives. They destroy people. He says, the mouth of the righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. The mouth of a righteous man, he's talking about the counsel of a godly man or a godly woman, just how valuable that is. It's like life-giving water to a man dying of thirst. They can help people see. They can help people understand how to get their life straightened back out and on the right path. But the wicked, the only counsel they have to offer is from their own wisdom, and it won't work. This leads you into more trouble. But the mouth of a righteous man or woman, and indeed is a well of life, they have something to offer that is beyond price and value. Said, hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sin. The talebearer, the people who gossip. Oh, but I was just telling the truth. That's all I was doing. And you might have been. But you know, sometimes truth don't need to be told. Truth don't need to be told. I know people know things about me I just simply not tell. Verse 9, chapter 5 of Matthew says, blessed are the peacemaker, for they shall be called the children of God. If it won't help, if it won't build up, if it won't instruct, don't be telling it. If it's something that's going to tear down and only cause harm and hurt, even though it may be truth, don't tell it. Love covereth up all sins, but hate stirs up strife. The Bible has a lot to say about talebearers and gossips, and none of it's good. They can do harm. They can destroy people. They can destroy homes. They can destroy marriages. They can destroy businesses. There's just almost nothing they can't destroy. But as a child of God, we have no business being involved in that. Even though it's the truth, if it won't build up, if it won't help, keep it to yourself. He goes on. Well, he doesn't go on. I have finished, haven't I? But like I said, if it won't build up, if it won't help, we need just keep it to ourselves, even though it might be the truth. In closing, as I said earlier, there's millions upon millions of self-help books that have been written and are being written. And they promise you that they can tell you how to have a life that is full, happy, and rewarding. And if you want to read them, that's up to you. But if you want a source of the truth that you can bank on being correct, that has wisdom beyond anything that man has to offer, it's right here. This is the best self-help book that you will ever find. Anything that it tells you in here, you can count on it. It's not just an opinion, it's a fact. The best self-help book you will ever find. I know one time, I evidently was teaching on it because I know I was studying about it. And it was the subject of marriage. And I began to follow, my Bible has a chain reference in it. Larry knows what I'm talking about. But it ties the verses together all through the Bible. And I began to take that subject, and I began to follow all those references I could find. And it absolutely amazed me at how much advice he gave on marriage, how simple and straightforward. Anybody can read it can understand. There's nothing deep about it as far as being able to understand. It amazed me. Anything you need to know in life on how to live a life that is happy, that is fulfilling, that gives you a sense of peace and security, You will find out how right here. This is your roadmap. This is your instructions. Take it, read it, follow it. And you'll be far, far better off than the man that just wanders around through life blindfolded by his own ignorance, falling into ever hurtful traps Satan lays. God gave it to us, and he gave it to us for a reason, and that's to use it. To use it. Take it, read it. It'll be the wisest choice you ever made. And that's all I have. Does anyone have any questions or comments on anything that I've said? Well, thank you for your prayers, and I really thank you for your attention.